Well, in our study of God's Word this morning, we are going to be addressing a specific issue. We're going to be addressing the specific issue of why our church will not be implementing the upcoming vaccine certificate system. It's probably one of the longest titles of a sermon I think I've ever had to kind of write before. Why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system. Now, as most of us will be aware, on Thursday, the 21st of October, our government announced an approach, a different approach actually, to dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. And they refer to this new approach as the traffic light system. All of us have heard this, all of us will be familiar with this. And the government have stated really a couple of goals to this new approach to things. For instance, the government feels as though it's time to update our country's response to COVID-19, especially considering that the vast majority of Kiwi citizens have now been vaccinated. And another one of the stated goals of the traffic light system is to limit lockdown restrictions to specific areas rather than making them nationwide. Now, a major component of the traffic light system, it has to do with granting greater freedoms to those who have been vaccinated while restricting the freedoms of those who have not been vaccinated. The government's been very clear on this. They haven't minced their words concerning this. Now, the traffic light system, it encompasses really three different levels, or as they call it, three different traffic lights, depending upon the status of the spread of the virus in a particular region at a particular given time. And for each level or each traffic light, whether that be green, amber, or red, there are really specific restrictions when it comes to how many people can gather in one place. Now, what determines this? Well, what determines the number of people who gather together? It really depends on whether a business or a group or an activity is prepared to implement what they call the vaccine certificate system. As it stands, the traffic light system, it really has a double standard. So there's going to be one standard or one set of rules or regulations for the vaccinated, and there'll be another standard for those who are not vaccinated. And if a business or activity chooses to implement the vaccine certificate system, which means that they have to only permit those who are vaccinated or have proof of vaccination into their business, into their activity, into their group, while turning away those who have not got the proof of vaccination, well, if they implement that, they're going to allow for a larger number of people to be permitted to gather together in one place. However, if a business or activity chooses not to implement the vaccine certificate system, then the number of people who can gather in one place is going to be drastically and significantly reduced. Now, just to give ourselves and to refresh our memories on this, by the way, this is kind of changing by the week at the moment, to give you an idea of how this traffic light system is going to affect churches, this is what we know at this particular point in time. When a region is in green, in the green light they call it, churches who implement the vaccine certificate system, they're going to have no cap on how many people can come together to worship God, whereas those who don't implement the vaccine certificate system, they will be capped, or their number will be capped at a total of 100. When a region is in the amber traffic light, churches, again, who implement the vaccine certificate system, they will have no cap on how many people can gather together for their church services. However, those who choose not to implement it, they will be limited to 50. And then when a region is in red, churches who implement the vaccine certificate, a cap will be actually enforced. So they'll only be able to meet together in groups of 100 to worship God, whereas those who don't implement the vaccine certificate system, they will be permitted to gather together in groups of 25. Now, I don't know if that's news to any of you. If you've been reading the news, it won't be news to you. But over the last couple of days, the government have lifted that cap. It was a maximum of 10 for those who are not implementing the vaccine certificate system in red level, or the red traffic light, but now that's increased from 10 to 25. And so obviously, what the traffic light proposal has done is that it has forced the elderships of every single church in New Zealand to make a very difficult decision. will they or will they not implement the government's vaccine certificate system within their church? Will their corporate worship gatherings be open to all, or will they be limited or segregated according to one's vaccination status? Will they segregate their church depending on the vaccination status of their church membership, or will it be open to all? Now, as you'd expect, there are a range of different approaches which various churches have chosen to take concerning this. There are some churches who have decided and made the decision to not implement the vaccine certificate system, but instead what they plan to do is that they plan to have multiple Sunday services, dividing their church into groups of 100 or 50 or 25, depending on what, you know, traffic light their region happens to be in at a particular time. Now, obviously, the larger the church is, the more difficult this approach is going to be, because at the end of the day, there's only so many services you can have on any particular Sunday. And so obviously they have to think this through depending on the size of the church. Now, in addition to this, if a region goes into red, well, those who are not going to implement a vaccine certificate system, things are going to become more complicated. Things are going to become more difficult for that church to be able to corporately gather together legally in one place without, you know, implementing a vaccine certificate system. And then there are other churches who have chosen to implement the vaccine certificate system. So some that haven't, but some that have chosen to. And they plan, some of them plan to hold two different services. There's going to be one for the vaccinated and one for the unvaccinated. For some churches that have a separate room available to them on site, well, they plan to have both the vaccinated and the unvaccinated worshiping together at the same time, but just in different places on their church grounds or even under one roof. The vaccinated will gather in the main place of meeting, while the unvaccinated, they will be confined to a separate room and they'll watch the sermon through a live stream feed. And so you have both vaccinated and unvaccinated, perhaps under the same roof or maybe on the same property, but they're going to be segregated into different rooms depending upon their vaccination status. Now, what this means practically is that the vaccinated and the unvaccinated will no longer have an opportunity to come together to worship God, nor will they be permitted to fellowship with one another when the church comes together corporately. And then there are some churches who plan to implement the vaccine certificate system, and they are choosing not to cater for the unvaccinated at all. So no separate services, no provision for the unvaccinated. And I saw that, this week. I saw a website of a New Zealand church which stated that the only people who are permitted to gather together for worship from this point forward, they need to be double vaccinated. And because children under 12 are not, you know, required to be vaccinated at this point anyway, well, they've made a rule, it's very clear on their website, to say that any child under 12 is not permitted to gather together for worship with their local community. And if there's any child over 12, they have to be double vaccinated as well. So it kind of goes right across the board. Under 12s aren't permitted to be gathering together with the church, and over 12s have to be double vaccinated. And in situations like this, well, the unvaccinated, they're going to need to find another church to be part of, because their own church is no longer welcoming them or catering them for them in to some degree based upon a personal medical decision. Well, that brings us to our church here at Redemption and what we plan to do in light of this traffic light system. And as mentioned at the very beginning, the elders of our church have weighed up the situation, and we feel that the decision that we are going to make is that we will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system within our church. We do not feel to segregate the members in our church based upon whether or not they have been vaccinated. Now, although I could spend, you know, a good part of today and this morning providing strong support for this decision, providing strong support democratically, strong support medically, strong support logically, or strong support ethically, well, for the scope of today's sermon, I plan to focus on what has led our eldership to this decision biblically. In fact, for the remainder of today's sermon, we are going to be looking at 8 biblical reasons for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system. 8 biblical reasons that have led our eldership to this decision that we will not segregate our church on the basis of one's personal medical decision, but instead we will continue to keep the doors open for all. Now, before I start, I just want to reiterate a couple of things. A couple of things that I've kind of alluded to or mentioned specifically in previous weeks. The first is this. I just want to reiterate that the decisions that our eldership have made and will make, they're not based on the actual vaccine itself. They're not based on that, nor does Redemption Church hold an official position concerning the vaccine. But instead, even within our eldership alone, there are some that are vaccinated and there are some who are not. And so we believe that unity can and it should be maintained as we apply the ethic of the liberty of conscience when it comes to this matter of vaccinations. And furthermore, from much of the test data that we have available to us, it appears that the vaccine is able to help some people when it comes to reducing their symptoms for if or when they catch COVID. And so, although we know that a vaccinated person can still catch the virus, and although we know that a vaccinated person to some degree can still spread the virus, and although we know that the vaccine doesn't fully prevent a person from being hospitalized or prevent them from even death, what we do know from the data, test data at this point in time, is that the vaccine can help to reduce the symptoms of the virus. And so we can understand what has led, this kind of thing has led a number of people, even within our church, to go ahead and make the decision to be vaccinated, basing their decision upon the test data which is available to them. And that's okay. But again, I want to say this as a caveat, that the decisions that our eldership have made concerning this traffic light system, they are not based upon the actual vaccine itself, but instead, the principles or the basis of our decisions concerning the traffic light system are based upon the Word of God. Now, I know that there may be some among us who may be thinking to themselves, well, come on, Jason, aren't you just making a big deal out of this? Aren't you just kind of like, you know, getting all worked up about nothing? Come on, Jason, these restrictions, they're only temporary in nature. Let's just ride these things out. Let's just go with the flow. And before you know it, everything will be back to normal again. Now, I wish that this was the case, but unfortunately, it simply is not. The vaccine providers themselves are very clear on the limitations of the vaccine. Very clear on that. You can read it on their websites and all the rest of it. This is not any, you know, hidden knowledge. Very clear stating that the vaccine itself, it's really only most effective within the first 5 to 6 months, and then as time goes on, the vaccine becomes less effective. And so it's no surprise to see that countries that have the highest vaccination rates are still faced with the same kind of problem. They're needing to face the reality saying the spread is increasing. People are contracting this thing, you know, in droves. And so what's needed is these ongoing booster shots in order to try to help to reduce the symptoms on an ongoing basis. But not only this, we are seeing that there are new variants of this virus that are continuing to pop up around the world, even as soon as over the last couple of days, our countries having to prevent people, you know, from certain countries coming into the country again, because this thing just doesn't seem to be going away. And so we know these things. This is not conspiracy. This is just information which is widely available on the Ministry of Health's website, on the websites of other governments worldwide. And I say all this, why? I say all this because we shouldn't be thinking that this is only a temporary problem that we find ourselves in right now and that somehow, some way, things are going to get back to normal. Because at this point, there is not a single country in the world, even the ones who have managed to attain, you know, 100% vaccination rates for all those who are eligible, there's not a single country in the world that has managed to reach normality or to go back to normality, whatever normality is. I don't even think I even remember what it is anymore. And so the decisions, and I say all this because the decisions that we make now We have to do so not just as a temporary measure, but we have to do so with a longer view in mind. So you know what, this is not just like a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but this is something that we have no idea how long it's going to be for and going to be around for. And so we need to make our decisions principally based, not pragmatically based, and founded within the scriptures. And one more thing to note here before we really look at these eight different reasons. In the decision that we've made, we are well aware, our eldership is well aware of the seriousness of the virus itself. We realize that people are getting sick from this virus. We realize that there are some people who are having long-term effects from this virus. We realize that there are people who are even dying from this virus. Now, although the recovery rate of the virus is incredibly high, we still recognize the seriousness involved with this virus. Which means that as and when the virus becomes more prevalent in our region, we will encourage proper safety protocols that one would expect of any essential service. If there are safety protocols that are acceptable for being in one place to receive physical food, supermarkets, you know, going down to the grocery store, if there are certain protocols that would say, yes, it's acceptable to apply these for that essential service, well, we too believe that safety protocols can also be applied, which are acceptable to receive not just the physical food, but also the spiritual food as well. And so it's with this said, I want us to make a start now. And again, these 8 points aren't going to be exhaustive. They can't be exhaustive, but these are based upon exposition of Scripture over many, many years and bringing this to pass, compiling it together to try to help us to guide our church as we think what to do concerning this traffic light system. And so let's make a start. Let's look at the 8 biblical reasons for why our church's eldership has decided to not go ahead and implement the vaccine certificate system. Okay, are we ready? Okay, reason number one. The first reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is because Scripture teaches that the offer of the gospel is to be made available to all people regardless of their vaccination status. That's number one. Scripture teaches that the offer of the gospel is to be made available to all people regardless of their vaccination status. Now, when we look to God's word, we see that the good news of the gospel is to be offered freely to all people without distinction. Now, what this means is that in our evangelism, we are not just to include certain groups of people while excluding others. In the early first century church, there was a temptation for some Jewish Christians to only target Jewish people in their evangelism instead of seeing that the gospel was available to everyone. And even today, there are some who hold doctrines in a very confused kind of way. There are some who might hold to the doctrine of election, for instance, in a certain way that would think, hey, you know what? We should only really seek to share the gospel with the elect because after all, it is only the elect that will eventually respond and be saved one day. Therefore, I won't go and waste my voice on sharing the gospel with someone who is reprobate. But you see, that is not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that the offer of the gospel is to go to every person without distinction. And Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 47, post-resurrection, he says, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You see, God has purposed for every person to hear the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even to those who reject it, it is still a proclamation of good news. But you see, if we were to introduce a vaccine certificate system within our church, the free offer of the gospel, it would no longer be free. But instead, what we would be doing is that we would be creating a condition in order for a person to come and to hear the gospel. And that condition would be based upon whether or not that person had been vaccinated. You see, unlike a business who may or may not choose to implement the vaccine certificate system to buy their products, to buy their services, unlike a business, the church has not been given that liberty. A business can do it. It's at their discretion, but not so with the church. We do not have the liberty to divide up people and be selective when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel. And so this is the first reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system, simply because Scripture teaches that the offer of the gospel is to be made available to all people without distinction and, of course, regardless of their vaccination status. Well, moving on to the second reason, reason number two. The second reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is because Scripture does not permit us to show partiality to people based upon their vaccination status. What this means is that we are not to create a two-tiered system within the church where one group of people get treated differently compared to another group of people. One place in Scripture where this principle is taught of not showing partiality is in James chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. And really the context of James has to do with the treatment of the rich and the poor within the church. And what James does is that he points out that it is wrong to treat one believer differently compared to another believer based upon some sort of external condition or some external criteria. Now, of course, the application of the principle is the rich and the poor, but the principle itself is not showing partiality based upon some external condition. And so let's just read it for ourselves and remind ourselves of it. James chapter 2, verse 1, where James teaches about not showing partiality in the church. He says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and you say to the poor man, 'You sit there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Verse 5, he continues on, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom with which he had promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not let the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts. Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself,' you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin, and you are convicted by the law as transgressors." And so what is the Bible telling us here? It's telling us part of what it means to love our neighbor is what? Is not showing partiality when it comes to external things. And so it's clear to see in James that James condemns the practice of showing partiality within the church. He condemns the practice of creating a two-tiered system within the church where one group of believers are treated differently compared to another group of believers. Now, here's the thing. If our church was to implement the vaccine certificate system here, well, we would have to divide one group from another group and say, "You can attend here and there, but you cannot attend based upon your vaccination status." Can we see how this would be a violation of what it is that James is teaching here concerning not showing partiality? Now, the reality is that it actually goes both ways. It can go actually both ways. If we were to include only the unvaccinated, this church is only open to the unvaccinated, and to the exclusion of the vaccinated, if we were to say, "Hey, Redemption Church is open to the unvaccinated only," well, we can see too how that would be showing partiality according to one's vaccination, but in the opposite direction as well. So it goes both ways, and neither one of those are right. Well, this is the second reason for why we cannot, in good conscience, implement the vaccine certificate system within our church, because it shows partiality, which leads us to a third reason, reason number three. A third reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is because Scripture does not permit us to exclude people from corporate worship based upon their vaccination status, knowing that the criteria for segregation is incredibly narrow. Now, here's the thing. Scripture does teach that there is a time to segregate a person from a church. And so it's not correct to say there is never a time where we should segregate the church, that there is never a time where elders can step in and refuse entry of another professing believer into the church. Scripture doesn't say that. But what we have to understand is that the criteria or the conditions for doing this, they are not broad, but they're incredibly specific and incredibly narrow. You see, the only time that the New Testament scripture permits elders to refuse entry of another person into church gatherings is in the case of church discipline, when a person is under church discipline and also being divisive within that church. Let's remind ourselves of the principles of church discipline. Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. And remember, as we're reading these, remember, these are the only conditions, biblically speaking, by which we can refuse entry of another person into the church. There is no other. These are the only ones. It says in Matthew 18, verse 15, "Moreover, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained a brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Paul says to the Corinthians, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality that is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up and are rather not mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed am absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And so what we see is that unrepentant sin in the life of a professing believer, this allows for the elders to actually refuse entry of that person into the corporate church gathering. It's permissible, but not 100% necessary in every instance. You know, even then, it's not 100% necessary for that person under church discipline to be excluded. There have been times in the past where it's been necessary for a member in our church to be under church discipline for a season, but even then, because their conduct wasn't divisive or harmful to any other church member, we felt that coming to church and being under the preaching of God's word was exactly the right place for that person to be. So even then, opening up the doors. Yes, we had to ask that person to hold back from taking the Lord's Supper for that season, but we hoped and we trusted that part of the restoration of that person would come about by being under and exposed to the means of grace. And we say, yes, bring them on in. Then there have been other times where a person's been under church discipline, but they've also been divisive. And in such cases, the Bible is very specific as to what it is that we are to do. We are to separate ourselves. There must be a separation. It says in Titus chapter 3, verses 9 to 11, Paul says to the pastor Titus, he says, "But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first or second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned." And so hopefully we can see that the biblical criteria for segregating the church is only in the case of church discipline. But even then, church discipline is always to be carried out with the view of what? With the view of restoration. It should always be carried out with the view of we're hoping and we're trusting that this brother or sister in Christ is going to demonstrate fruits of repentance so that we can then grant them full access back into the corporate church gathering once again. That is the hope. That is what we're trusting God for when a person is in a season of church discipline. And so can we see the issue with segregating church members on the basis of their vaccination status. For church elders to segregate the church in this way, they have to recognize that they are implementing a criteria within the church which is completely foreign to Scripture. They have to recognize that they are adding a criteria for entrance into the corporate church gathering which is not from God, but it's a criteria that is man-made. It is not from Christ, who is the rightful head of the church, but it is from man. And what's more, unlike church discipline, where at least there's the opportunity for the believer to enter back into the corporate church gathering once again, the only way for the unvaccinated church member to be granted access into the main corporate gathering is if they are vaccinated. And so you know what that's telling us, don't you? In effect, to be unvaccinated in a vaccine certificate system kind of scenario, in effect, to be unvaccinated, it results in the same consequence as a person living in unrepentant sin. And therefore, in order for the unvaccinated to be welcomed back into the main corporate church gathering again, in effect, they must repent of their sin of being unvaccinated, and they have to become vaccinated. As for the elders of our church, this is not something that we are prepared to do. We cannot, in good conscience, forbid a person from gathering together with other members within the church based upon a criteria that is not found within the Scriptures. We simply can't. We have no biblical mandate to implement such a policy. And if we were to do so, we would be committing serious pastoral malpractice for which we would be held accountable by Christ, who is the head of the church, one day. And so, friends, this is a third reason for why we cannot implement this vaccine certificate system. Scripture is so narrow and so specific when it comes to who we can say can and can't come in. And by the way, whether or not you're vaccinated is not a biblical criteria. Which brings us to reason number four. The fourth reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is because Scripture does not permit us to divide over matters where liberty of conscience should be exercised. Now, we've talked about this in previous weeks, and if you haven't been around for those sermons, you go and have a listen to them, you'll find them not that long ago. We've talked about the ethic of the liberty of conscience quite extensively in previous weeks. And what we've seen from Scripture is that when there are issues that are not black and white issues, when there are issues that are not explicitly talked about one way or another within Scripture, then we are to recognize that issue or those issues as falling into a category which we would call a gray area. And what Scripture teaches about gray areas, or areas where it's okay for believers to have differing convictions, even if they're strong convictions, it's okay to have differing convictions on either side. Scripture teaches us that we are to maintain unity by allowing liberty or a freedom of conscience where that issue is concerned. In other words, we are not to judge, we are not to condemn, we are not to separate ourselves, we are not to segregate ourselves from other believers based upon something which is not a sin issue, based upon something that's not black and white. But instead, Scripture instructs us that we are to maintain unity where Scripture allows for there to be liberty or freedom in whichever way, whatever decision a person might make. Let's remind ourselves again, Romans 14, the whole chapter deals with it, but we'll just pick out verses 1 to 5. He says in Romans 14, verse 1, Paul says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another person's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. So do we see what Paul is saying here? We are not to segregate ourselves from other believers who hold differing convictions concerning gray areas. But instead, what does Paul instruct us here? Right in verse 1, he says to receive them. And what is the basis of receiving them? Well, it tells us there, because God has received them. We are to accept them. We are to include them. But you see, this would be yet another problem if our eldership was to implement the vaccine certificate system. We would be, in essence, dividing or segregating the members of our church based upon a gray area issue where liberty should be recognized and where unity should be maintained. And it's for this reason, in good conscience, our elders cannot implement something which is going to segregate the members of our church over a matter where liberty of conscience should be applied. Which brings us to reason number 5. And the 5th reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is simply because Scripture teaches that earthly distinctions should not segregate believers because of their union together in Christ. I mean, this was such a critical truth in the early church because there was just a multitude of different kind of social classes in that day where there wasn't a whole lot of unity that was present. You had Greeks and Jews, you had Jews and Gentiles, you had barbarians and Scythians, you had men and women, you had slaves and masters. And we have to understand that within each one of these different groups of people where earthly distinctions were present, you had one class of people who were looking down upon another class of people or who thought they were more superior of different treatment compared to another class of people. But you see, what does Jesus do? What does the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, it levels out the playing ground. Although earthly distinctions will still be present, Scripture teaches us that we are to see ourselves as being unified with other believers because of the union that we share together in Christ. Paul puts it like this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. He says, "Put on the new man who is received in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." And listen to it. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Do we see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that we shouldn't view our earthly backgrounds or our earthly distinctions as a cause for division or a cause for segregation between ourselves and other believers. But instead, as Christians, we are to see ourselves unified together in Christ. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, I want us to listen to how Paul talks about the union which Christ has made possible between people, and in particular, between Jews and non-Jews, Jews and Gentiles. This is what he says. It says, "For he himself," talking about Christ, "is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace." Now here's the thing. Who are we to erect walls of separation or segregation between ourselves and other believers, given that Christ himself has broken down the walls and barriers through the gospel? Who are we? Who are we to erect another wall? Who are we to be like the Jews did, and you had the court of the Jews in the Jewish temple, and then you had the court of the Gentiles, physically separating themselves off from others, segregating the body of Christ? Who are we? Now, this is another problem that we see with the vaccine certificate system within the church. It causes segregation where there should be recognized unity. And can I just say that the Lord Jesus Christ did not sacrificially lay down his life in order for us to, he didn't sacrificially lay down his life in order to break down all earthly distinctions and unify us together, only to have 2,000 years later, we rebuild the walls of segregation once again. Christ did not lay down his precious life to break down something that we now have permission 2,000 years later to rebuild again. He did not do that. Now, I don't do this often, but sometimes I need to read out of Jason's Living Translation. It's just a way of me saying, hey, you know what? I think we may need to make some specific application as to what it is that Scripture is actually saying. Based upon the principle that Paul wants to get across in Colossians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch to put it this way. I'm going to insert a couple of words in here, but I think out of Jason's Living Translation, I think that it's applicable and it applies in this situation. I'll read it. There is, verse 11, there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, vaxxed nor unvaxxed, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Anyone have an issue with that interpretation? Does that interpretation not apply? Does that application not apply to what our situation that we're in right now? It's for this reason our elders cannot segregate the members of our church based on earthly distinctions of one's vaccination status, because we are unified together through our union in the Lord Jesus Christ. Which leads us to reason number six. The sixth reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is simply this. Scripture teaches that every member within the local body is needed regardless of their vaccination status. As we know, Christ, head of the church, he distributes unique spiritual giftings to each and every believer. And as believers, we have a responsibility to do what with those giftings? We have a responsibility to exercise those giftings for the edification or the building up of other believers. And what's more, Scripture likens the church to that of a human body, where each member in that local body is necessary, and each member in that local body has an important part to play, an important role to play as one part of a whole. Now listen to the portion of how Paul describes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, and picking up in verse 20, he says, but now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again that the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts we have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. Continuing on, it says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Again, the whole chapter kind of talks about this unity through diversity and all the rest of it, and the necessity of each person in the body of Christ. But you see, there are some people who think that taking a pragmatic approach, if it works, just kind of do it. Forget about the means. We'll just be concerned about the end. There are some people who think that taking a pragmatic approach of having a service for the vaccinated and another service for the unvaccinated, that this is still going to allow for the body, the local body, to function okay. There's some people who think that we'll split up the services, vaccinated and unvaccinated, and you know what? It's still going to be okay for the body, our body here, to function well. But friends, can I just say, they are wrong. You see, God has not only ordained our place within the church universal, but he's also ordained our function within our local church as well. Uniquely placed us, uniquely gifted us, uniquely opens up the opportunities for us to be able to serve in the ways in which we do. And have we not seen this in Redemption Church? Have we not seen God sovereignly add to the number of this particular fellowship here at Redemption? And we know that to every new member that's been added, they have slotted into a very unique and somewhat of an indispensable role within our local church. Now here's the thing. When God adds a person or a family to a local church, You cannot remove that person without actually losing something. When God adds a family or a person to a local church, you can't, you know, remove them without diminishing something to the whole. Now think about that. I'll pick out some names. Those who I think will be tough enough to kind of, you know, to handle that. Think about the Kiskeren family. Think about them. If they were to no longer be present in our corporate worship gatherings from next week onwards, don't you think you'd notice? Don't you think that there would be a great big, let's say, a Kiskeren-shaped hole that would be left here within our church? What about the Theropolis family? Think about Nikos, Bronya, Ania, Danae, Costa. Think about them. If they were no longer to be here from next week onward, don't you think that our church would feel it? Don't you think that we would feel that a noticeable part of our body has just been removed? Think about the Hill family. Think about the Winslade family. Think about Lily. Think about Vanille. Think about Sophia. Think if Toma wasn't here next week. You see, I don't want to get too grotesque about this whole thing, but following the illustration that Paul gives to us in 1 Corinthians 12, if we were to introduce a vaccine certificate system, the system within our church, in effect, it would have the same effect as dismembering a physical body. It would be, and I don't want to get too grotesque about this, but it would be like doing to a physical body, putting the eyes, ears, and arms in one room and keeping the head, torso, and legs in another room. You see, we can't dismember that which Christ has put together and think that everything is just going to function okay, because it simply won't. You can't take away from a local body and think that it's going to not have an adverse effect on the whole. And it's for this reason our elders cannot segregate the members of our church, because Scripture teaches that every member within a local body is needed regardless of their vaccination status. Which leads us to reason number 7. The 7th reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccine certificate system is because Scripture teaches that the ordinance of baptism is the only prerequisite for entry into membership of the church and access to the means of grace, not one's vaccination status. So here's the question. What is the biblical way that we recognize a believer? What biblical ordinance is required in order to recognize a person as a believer, granting them to access to the means of grace, and in particular to the Lord's Supper, to communion? We know that the biblical ordinance is none other than baptism. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. He gave the Great Commission. He spoke about how baptism was the ordinance that would identify a person as his follower, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of Christ. And this is what he said. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Go therefore and make disciples and do what? Baptizing them. Now, here is another problem if we were to implement the vaccine certificate system within our church. If we make vaccination a requirement for people to enter into the church and to participate in the means of grace, and in particular, to participate in communion or the Lord's Supper, in effect, what we are doing is that we have created a third ordinance for the church. Think about that. Not only will there be baptism, not only will there be the Lord's Supper, communion, but there will also be vaccination. In making vaccination a condition for entry to the means of grace, it is saying this: in order to receive Christ, in order to receive the benefits of his grace, there will be a condition, and that condition is vaccination. Now, I don't think I need to remind you of this, but for anyone who would try to put a condition in the way of a person getting to Christ or to the means of his grace, they are beginning to walk on very dangerous ground. Because according to Scripture, if you put anything in between a person coming to Christ, you are slipping into a category of something which is becoming a false gospel, or at the very least, a denial of the gospel. As I mentioned earlier, the condition for a person being denied access to the means of grace within the church is very narrow, and it's in the case of ongoing, unrepentant sin, not on the basis of one's vaccination status. It is for this reason our elders cannot segregate the members of our church, because Scripture teaches that the ordinance of baptism is the only prerequisite for entry into membership into the church and access to the means of grace, not one's vaccination status. Which leads us finally to reason number 8. The 8th reason for why our church will not be implementing the vaccination certificate, and that is simply this. Scripture teaches that the elders will one day give account for the decisions, their decisions, including whether or not they choose to exclude people from corporate worship based upon an extra-biblical condition. I know we've talked about this in weeks past, and in particular, if you need to go back and listen to, you know, the church as the local church as an essential service, that's a good sermon to go and listen back on a few months ago. I know we've talked about this in weeks past, but when it boils down to it, as elders, we will one day have to give account to Christ for the decisions that we make concerning his church, concerning his bride, concerning his blood-bought people. And can I just say that we take this incredibly seriously. I realize that not every member in our church may agree with our decision to not implement the vaccine certificate system. But as difficult as it may be to face a member's disapproval for our decision, there is one whose disapproval that we fear even more. We are reminded of this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It's where the writer says, "Obey those who rule over you, be submissive, for they watch out for your souls," and listen to this, "as those who must give account." As those who must give account, "and let them do so with joy, not with grief, that would be unprofitable for you." You see, the consciences of our eldership, they are bound to Scripture. The consciences of our eldership are bound to the Word of God. Our consciences have been informed and directed by Scripture, along with much consultation from other pastors and other elders from outside of our church as well. And we realize that whatever decision we make, every decision we make will have to one day undergo the scrutiny of Christ, who is the true head of the church. And as we've considered the principles that we've looked at from Scripture this morning, not just one of them, but trying to look at the whole counsel of God on this matter, we feel that the weight of Scripture is directing us towards not implementing this vaccination certificate system within our church. Now, we realize that there are implications for this, implications that will come as the result of this decision. We realize that we will need to talk through with you guys, the members of the church, about, well, how can we continue to function to be a church under this system that our government is putting forward to us? But regardless of the challenges that may come as the result, our eldership is confident that we are taking a principle-based approach rather than a pragmatic-based approach. And at the end of the day, when we are standing before Christ one day, even if we've got things a little bit wrong, even if we've got things absolutely wrong, we would much rather stand before him and say, "Lord, we did our very best as mortal men to let Scripture inform our thinking concerning the decisions that we make, rather than saying, "Lord, we let government policy inform our thinking rather than being primarily directed by your word." That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Even if we get it wrong, we need to allow for the counsel of God to inform our consciences, to form our thinking as we come to the decisions that we have to make. And saying this, we do value your ongoing support, your ongoing prayers. I mean, we know we need wisdom and we need courage to actually do the right thing, even when the right thing is going to get a lot of flack. The right thing is going to be very unpopular in the eyes of many. And so we need your prayers for wisdom and for courage. And regardless of what you think about the decisions that we're making now and the decisions that we'll make going forward, please know that our eldership are actually trying to do our very best. We really are. If anyone else wants to take my role, you're welcome to take it. And I can sit in the seat and scrutinize your reasons. But we are trying to do our very best. We want to honor God. That's our only motive, to honor God and to serve you, our church family, the very best that we can. As mentioned, we do have a few things to talk about as a church here, as our members, and we plan to do this at 1:30 today here in the hall. We're going to have some tea and coffee and fellowship, and then we're going to gather back together to run through some of the things of what are some of the practical implications. We've looked today at the eight biblical reasons for why we are not implementing the vaccine certificate system, but there are some implications for that, and we need to discuss that together with the members of our church, along with those who are considering membership here at Redemption as well. So we're going to meet back together after that time, and I do hope that this morning has been helpful. We are going to have, as part of that membership meeting, we are going to be sharing what we are doing going forward, or what the broad plan is. And we're going to invite a lot of Q&A and a lot of response from our members as well, including any feedback or any pushback on what it is that we've actually talked about here this morning as well. So we do have that to come. In the meantime, I just want to invite up the music team, and I'm just going to close just with a word of prayer now. So let's just pray. Father, we need your grace and your wisdom at this time. We need courage at this time. Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that you have given already as being demonstrated through the scriptures this morning. We know that your word says that if any lacks wisdom, to ask him who will give with all liberality, if we will not doubt. And Lord, we don't want to doubt. We just need your wisdom. We need our consciences and our minds and our hearts to be informed by your word, by scripture. And so, Lord, help the things that have been talked about today to really marinate on our hearts, become part of us, knowing that what we plan to do as a church is not just based upon a whim, it's not based upon pragmatics, but instead it's a principle approach based upon your word. God, spare us from just picking apart just one of the reasons and trying to think that then somehow undermines the whole, but help us as we consider what's being talked about this morning to consider the whole, to consider all the principles, to consider all the passages of Scripture that would seem to be pointing in one direction, and help our consciences to be bound to Scripture, not just bound to the words of the elders, not bound to the word of man, but that our consciences would be bound to Scripture. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.